Hi, my name is Kishana Marrow, and welcome to Accelerate Your Destiny. I am so excited today to have my guest, Linda Katz-Wilner, who is the founder and director of Successfully Speaking. Linda, welcome.
Oh, Kishana, thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
We are old friends. We work together. And so to be in this space with you, I am truly excited to have you.
Me too.
Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about communication and how important communication is. And Linda, can you tell us a little bit about what you do around communication? Because you do a lot of work with communication.
Yes. And it's evolved over the years, Kishana, as you know. I started as a speech and language pathologist. So I loved helping people with communication disorders. And that passion transferred into working with people in the workplace who don't have disorders, but they have the need to communicate effectively. And with that, I help people speak, sound, and look like leaders, because isn't that what we all want?
Oh, that is what we all need, actually. So tell me more about communication, because one of the things I think is a misunderstanding of communication is it's just about speaking. Can you kind of talk to me about that?
Oh, absolutely, Kishana. When we think about communicating in the workplace, we think about how am I going to show up?
Yes.
I mean, look what I said, the speak, sound, and look like a leader. That's all about us. However, communication in the workplace isn't just about speaking. The best leaders are good listeners. Ooh. And so we need to observe and listen to what the other person is saying. Otherwise, we are not communicating. Communication needs to be two-way.
It needs to be two-way. When you say we need to observe what the other person is saying, because sometimes we can misinterpret body language or we can misinterpret tone. So why is it so important to observe, and how do we observe? Do we just kind of sit there and look at them like, you know what? Tell me, teach us how to observe.
And Kishana, when you ask me that question, it brings to mind the three V's of communication, which is what I always speak about. And I initially spoke about it as the three V's of communication that you send out. The visual, how you look, and that's your body language. That's your facial expression. It's even the dress, and it's even how you carry yourself and anything else that somebody sees when they look at you. That's your visual communication. Then we have the vocal communication. Vocal is how you sound. Do I speak with authority? Do I mumble when I speak? Do I have an accent? And my accent becomes a distraction, whether it's a New York accent or a Southern accent or even a foreign accent. That is going to be part of the vocal, what we're hearing. It's also the pitch of our voice. You know, do we speak too high? Or do we try to be very authoritative and speak very low or drop into that crackly glottal fry in our voice, which many people are guilty of doing. It's other things as, do we have the uptalk when we're speaking? Does our voice go up a lot? So we sound a little too perky and maybe not as seasoned a professional. And perhaps we're sounding like we're not sure of ourselves when we speak that way. These are all the vocal, and there's more. There's the rate of speech, the loudness of speech. Vocal is what do we hear? And then there's the verbal, which most of us think about all the time. What am I going to say? What are the words I'm using? Do I have good vocabulary? Do I have to have a very rich vocabulary? Will that make me sound smarter? And we can get into that because that's not always the case. How is our grammar? Because our grammar can be a distraction, just like an accent can be a distraction. And all of these are the verbal. And to me, the most important part of verbal, Kishana, is the organization of your message. I don't want to speak up at a meeting and somebody say, what's she talking about? What's the point? When is she going to get to the point? And those are the three V's. The only part I left out is those word fillers. And when people have the ums, the likes, the you knows, the if you're counting it, I'm not being effective. So now that I spoke all about what we do, that's exactly what we observe in others. It just, it's the two-way street. So when I watch you, are you showing me very good visual communication? Are you attentive to me, or are you looking at your watch or looking at your phone? Are you, how do you sound? And what are you saying? And it's very simple. But it's so important.
I don't know, Linda. I know that you said it's very simple, but I work with people who are having difficulties really being effective communicators. Mm-hmm. And now I've been a person, I'm a recovering face person. You know, I have to fix my face because sometimes what I say comes mm-hmm. or how I feel about something comes across my face. So what you're saying in terms of visual is so very important. And I think about also tone and how important it is to make sure that, you know, I'm not singing when I speak. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to pause really quickly here because I think that it is important to let our audience know that communication is not only for people who are in the workplace, it is also highly recommended that our entrepreneurs pay very close attention to what we're saying here. Why is that so important for entrepreneurs to also be effective communicators?
Oh, I love that question. And I don't like the term elevator pitch.
Mm.
But when we go into networking situations, we're always selling ourselves or our business. And if they cannot do it effectively or with credibility and confidence, they lose the audience. Another thing entrepreneurs have, especially in startups, they're often in pitch competitions. How can they succinctly relay the value of their business? And if they can't do that, they're not going to get the funding that they need or the clients that they need. So it is extremely important for all business owners, whether they have their own business, whether they're representing a larger business, or if they're in the startup world.
Yes, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Presentation is everything. And one of the things that I tell my coaching clients is every opportunity is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So don't mess it up.
And you know what, Kashana? Somebody is always watching you.
Yes, yes.
Even if you're going for a job interview and you're walking in the parking lot and going up the elevator and sitting in that waiting room, you don't know who is watching.
You never know who's watching. That is so true. Linda, when you are thinking about how we are showing up, which is also a part of visual, and I believe we're so visual in today's culture, it's just driving us to make sure that we are on point with our brand, to make sure that everything that we're presenting is sharp and it looks like we're prepared. What would you say are some key points, if you will, to just making sure your visual or your appearance is on point? What are some things that you would want us to be mindful of?
Oh, well, know your brand.
Mm.
Something I might say to somebody about how they should dress may not work for their brand.
That's good.
It may be fine for somebody to wear flip-flops and shorts at a networking event, if that represents their brand. But if it doesn't, I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah.
And so you have to know who you are. Something is simple, and I'll mention something that just came today. Somebody was writing something for me and they in social media.
Uh-huh.
And let's say it were to you, Kashana, it was, "Hey, Kashana, this is somebody I don't know." And right away, I contacted the person who was writing that post and say, "Don't say, hey, Kashana, that's not how I speak. Right. I say hi or hello." And that's something so simple, but that's my brand.
Yes.
My brand is that you need to speak a certain way, and I didn't want to come across in that casual way.
Yes.
But that might work for you, or that might work for somebody else. Just know who you are so everything you do is consistent, as you mentioned.
I love that. I love that. I'm not a hey person either. I'm a hi mm-hmm. or how are you today before I go into a conversation. So I really appreciate that. Knowing your brand, knowing what to say and how to say it. How do you want people to receive you? You also talked a little bit about vocabulary. And I have to dive into that because you and I have talked about this. I'm from the South. And so that Southern twang is definitely still there. And one of the wonderful tools that you have available is Miss Speaks.
Miss Persnickety's Guide to Everyday Miss Speaks.
Yes,
you had
yes.
that.
Miss Persnickety's Guide. And I want you to share a little bit about why you thought this tool was so very important for people to have, because that is I love it. And I also share with my clients because I think it's an excellent, excellent tool. And it's so easy to just really read through. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Early in my career, when I supervised my first graduate student, and I was telling her she kept spelling occasion wrong, and she kept spelling another word wrong. And I was correcting her. And she said to me, "You know, you're very persnickety." And I thought, oh, I can't believe that. And as years have gone by, and this has been several decades later, I'm owning that brand because I am very persnickety. I hear when people say things incorrectly. I see when there's a mistake on a menu. I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. And so when I was thinking about that, and I would collect things from very educated people and broadcasters, they'd say things and I'm thinking, did they miss that day in grammar school? Because that's not the correct way to say it. And some of them are fun, and some of them, as you alluded to a moment ago, Kashana, some of them are regional expressions.
Yes.
Anyways is not a real word, but many people say anyways.
Yes.
Irregardless does not exist,
yes,
but many people say it. Living in Maryland, I took a yoga class once, and somebody said, put one leg across the other. There is no word across. And so I started hearing these things. And again, I also work with many, many non-native English speakers. And they're always nervous about this, about saying it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. I started collecting these. And one thing led to another. And I said, let's put this together in a book. And many of the people, and it's more like a flip book. It's very easy to read. And every page is a different point. A classic one is me and I, or me and myself. Do you know when to use it? Mm-hmm. And so in this book, it's misspeaks, like mispronunciations, like the anyways. It's the grammar, like the me and the myself, mm-hmm, or the me and I. And it's also just vocabulary words. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different things. And then again, some that are very much of concern for non-native speakers. Like, is it finance or finance? Mm. Well, are you in Europe or are you in the United States?
Wow.
Because the pronunciation can be different. The spelling can be different. And so that seems to be a passion of mine, that I am persnickety. And if you see that mistake on the menu, you better believe I will tell that waiter or their manager that you need to check your menu.
Yes.
I can't help myself.
I love that. I love that. And I love the fact that you didn't allow it to become a negative in your life or in your brand. You made it work for you. And it's in turn helping so many others.
And I'm glad you said that, because I am very careful about how I present that, because in this culture today with DEI, you want to embrace everybody who wants to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time and place for everything.
Yes.
And we all code switch. Mm-hmm. And the way I may speak with my family and friends may not be the way I speak when I present or I wear my professional hat. And so for people, I'm hesitant sometimes to talk about Miss Persnickety, because I feel that it's judgmental. Mm. It is judgmental. Mm. But so will your boss be judgmental,
yes,
of you. And if you have a job interview, they might be judgmental of you. So I just want people to know and then make that choice. Do I want to speak in my social colloquial way? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to elevate it to a point that it's more quote-unquote professional?
Yeah.
And that's in everybody else's eyes. They all make their own decisions about that.
I thank you so much for saying that. One of the things I hear a lot of times is people say, well, I want to be authentically who I am. And I say, well, that's great, but you have to really understand the space that you're in. It's okay to code switch. Code switch is not changing yourself. It's understanding where you are, mm-hmm, understanding the environment and the space, mm-hmm, that you're in and the audience that you have before you. So I'm so glad that you said that.
And that's one of the basics. I do a lot of coaching in public speaking. The first thing you have to do is know your audience.
Yes.
And
yes,
one what will work for one audience might antagonize another. And
yes,
you have to do your research. And the same when you speak with somebody at a networking event. Mm-hmm. You may not know them, so perhaps you should ask some questions to learn about them or observe who they are.
That's it.
So that you have a sense on what things you can and cannot say, or how you should use your speech and how they're speaking to you.
Yes.
So if
yes,
they're using very casual speech, then perhaps it's okay. If you're in sales and you're dealing with a certain demographic, you can speak that talk. It may work better for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in another situation, you'll be judged as not polished enough. So just, you have to be mindful of all of this.
This is so good, and it's so rich. I love it. I love it. And I'm hoping that, again, my career professionals, my leaders, my entrepreneurs are getting this, because this is rich information that we don't see or we don't talk about enough in this professional space. So thank you so much for just bringing your wisdom and knowledge and expertise into our podcast today. Okay. This is the last question I'm going to ask. I think it's the last question. If I am a career professional, and let's just say I'm looking to, I'm aspiring to leadership, what is one thing, one key ingredient to success, or would you say, and I know that everyone's different, but there may be a core element that you say, listen, you cannot operate effectively in leadership unless you do this. What would it be?
That's a very easy question.
Ooh.
Listen. Listening is so important. We all feel that we're very important and have a lot to share. And especially if we're in a leadership position, I have the experience, I have the knowledge, I want to share that with everybody. But if I'm not listening to what their needs are, I may be off point.
Yeah.
And a good leader doesn't have to speak first. Should listen to everybody on the team, because also as a leader, if I speak first, I might intimidate everybody else. But if I have to credit that to Simon Sinek, he has said that, be the last to speak. Let everybody on the team talk. Be a good listener. Even if you don't follow what they're saying, empower everybody to speak their mind, and then you can speak. And I think that is the basic element a leader needs to have, the ability to listen.
And I hear what you're saying there, and this is so contrary to culture, because culture says you should be the one to lead and speak first. You should be the one to set the tone. But what you're saying is no, observe. Make sure that the people you're working with, you're listening to what, and there's a such thing as listening effectively. And I call it listening passively, you know, where you're like, I got it. Yeah. No, keep talking. I can do two things at one time. We've actually convinced ourselves that we can multitask and listen to someone else while we're doing something else.
And Kashana, that's why the term active listening is not the best term.
Oh.
Because active listening, I can fake it. I can nod my head. I can lean toward you. I can keep an open posture. I can say the How many times have you been on a phone call when they don't see you and you're doing the yes, but you're typing something else? You're really not listening. Or you're in the meeting and you're daydreaming or thinking about what you're going to say or what you have to do next. And so that is not active listening. Empathetic listening or compassionate listening is putting yourself in their shoes and understanding what they're talking about and also understanding their emotion behind it.
Yes.
That's true listening. Yes. You can't fake that.
No, you cannot.
But I can easily fake the act of listening, and I've done it. We've all done it.
Yes.
But that's not listening, because if somebody asked us to repeat back what was just told, I wasn't really listening. I was focusing on my agenda. And so that term active listening, which I used a lot early in my career, I just want to say good listening, or what we've talked about in the past, my Olay approach, which is observe the person.
Yes.
Listen to the person. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way the E is engage with that person.
Yes.
And so I still think listening is important, even though a leader needs to be able to speak. I'm not saying they don't speak, but they don't need to speak first in a group setting.
Yes.
Now, in a different situation, if I'm running a meeting for the whole company and there are 100 people there, that's a different story.
Yes.
Then you have to just know your audience. One thing I'd like to add.
Yes.
You mentioned culture. International culture is very important because many people, when you have diverse teams from different cultures, some cultures do not speak up, and they will not speak up unless they're invited to. Yeah. It's some of the Asian cultures. And for many of my clients, they tell me that the American culture, or they're told in the workplace, you're not speaking up enough at meetings. You have to just talk up, speak up. And they'll tell me in confidence, I'm not saying who these people are, that Americans just talk to talk in a meeting. In our culture, we don't do that. And so again, with these diverse teams, we also need to understand the different cultures. Yes. And if there's somebody who might be Asian, invite them comment because they have information there. They may not jump in the same way that an American speaker would. Mm-hmm. We need to know that.
That is so good, Linda. I love that. You said so many things that I was just kind of taking those nuggets in because cultural competence, it requires us to make sure that we are aware of that culture before we engage or before we ask them to do something that's totally out of their element, and we make them very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I love what you said there. You said something else that I wanted to expound on. What was it? It was about engaging, but it was something else, observing, listening, engaging, actively listening. Do you hear me giving you these points over again? They were so good. Everything was so good. When you talked about body language, you know, and I so agree with you that sometimes when we're looking at people and we're not really paying attention or not really, we can fake it, right? Mm-hmm. We just fake it and it's not good. It's not Fake listening is not good.
It may work in the short term.
It may work in the short term, but it's not good because, it's just. But what I wanted to also say is it's great to ask questions. Mm.
Yes.
And when you are engaging, you must ask questions to ensure that you have interpreted the message how it was intended. Because sometimes we are just going and we start answering questions or we start communicating. And it's way off base. And we have to make sure that we ask.
So ask for clarification.
Yes.
Because so often when you do that, the person may say, well, no, that's not what I meant. Well, if you never asked that, you just went off on your whole topic and it didn't even refer to what they were talking about.
Yes.
So ask questions to clarify, but also ask to be curious. That's the biggest mistake people make in networking events.
Yes.
When they show up. We don't do cards as much anymore, but they show up, they hand the card, they talk about who they are, and they think they did a great job. Now, are you going to call that person?
No, not at all.
But the person who comes up and wants to meet you and learn about you, and then perhaps if you ask for a card, or at the end they may say, here's a card if you want it, that's a much more valuable connection.
Yes. Yes, I so agree.
And I think young people early in their career or in certain industries may feel, I have to go to that networking event and I have to come back and tell my boss how many people I met that night. Mm. That's not communicating.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It's not communication. It's not effective either. Mm-hmm. It's not an effective approach. I love this, Linda. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, here's what we do here at Accelerate Your Destiny. We give homework.
Mm.
And so, Linda, I'm going to allow you today to make sure that you give our audience homework because we want to make sure that they are executing all of the information that they received. So go ahead. What would you say their homework is today?
All right. Let's think about what we talked about. Mm-hmm. And one is the three V's of communication. Your visual, your vocal, and your verbal. Everybody nowadays has access to a camera.
Yes.
Video yourself, even in a Zoom session or if you're just holding your camera to video yourself talking. And then when you're done with that clip, and I do this in my master classes in public speaking, when you're finished with that clip, watch it. Most people don't like that part, but watch it. And Kashana, turn the sound off.
Ooh.
And if you turn the sound off, you are fully observing how you are coming across visually. So when you mentioned a facial expression, do you look happy? Do you look concerned? Do you look angry? We have all these types of faces. Is it matching with the message? Look at yourself visually. Then watch it again. Turn the sound on and see how you sound. And see if your visual matches your vocal and matches your verbal. It's an easy exercise to do, not so easy to watch, but it's so revealing. And when I mention that in my master classes, they say as painful as that exercise is, it was so helpful because they had no idea the nervous things that they were doing or how they were rocking and moving, and that tells you.
And I can tell you, I've taken Linda's masterclass and it is absolutely phenomenal. So I'm sure we're going to have information on that. But listen, thank you so much for joining us today on Accelerate Your Destiny. Again, I am your host, Kashana Marrow, with my guest, Linda Katz-Wilner from Successfully Speaking. Have a great day. I invite you to follow me on my social media platforms. I am on Facebook, Instagram, as well as LinkedIn. We have content going out daily for both your professional as well as your personal growth. I'll see you there.